Thank you, Jesus. God is very, very good. God is very good. All the time. God is good. Oh, my Lord in heaven. I thank God for GRACE. Anybody knows what that is? If you woke up this morning, you got it. If you're saved, you got it. Because you can't be saved without it. Got to have His blood and His grace to forgive us of our sins. Thank God. God is good. God is good. All the time. We are living in a time and a day where the end times are here and busyness is all over the land. And I got called into work today and I'm a little bit aggravated, but God's grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. This water for me? Thank you. But God is good, and I thank God for His grace. So as I got here at 5:45, something dropped in my heart, so I'm going to go with it because I believe God speaks very precisely and very directly. I want to talk tonight about the gospel of Jesus Christ a little bit. And I want to also talk about the other gospels that are out there in the land today. Because we have other gospels out there. Whether we want to admit it as Christians or not, they're out there. We have the gospel of money. We have the gospel of... And I'm going to name some names, but it's just because there are other gospels. And Jesus was very clear, and Paul was very clear, that if we preach any other gospel, they need to be accursed. And any time we do not preach the gospel of Jesus, souls cannot be saved. So before I begin, Father, I want to thank You for this evening. I want to thank You for Your word. I want to thank You for the anointing. I want to thank You for Your grace. Father, have Your way. If You want to change Your message, You are more than welcome to do so. Holy Spirit, I welcome You and I loose You and I thank You for this service tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. We have the gospel of money. We have the gospel of materialism. We have the gospel of things. But we don't have the gospel of Jesus, so therefore we don't have the gospel of salvation. It's important that we have the gospel of Jesus because none can be saved save the name of Jesus Christ. No other name can save except the name of Jesus. So it's important that we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, not the gospel of Rod Parsley or the gospel of John Hagee or the gospel of the Lord didn't want me to say that because the name went right out of my hand, but that's okay. God knows what He's doing. We cannot have these other gospels out there and expect people to get saved. It must be in the direct order that God sent it, the gospel of Jesus. It must go in that order. It must come in that way for souls to be saved. We must have the gospel of Jesus Christ if we want to see souls saved in the last days. There is no other gospel that can be preached than that's already been preached. We must preach what the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone preached. That is what we must preach. Thank you for the amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me please to 1 Corinthians. I just got a couple quick scriptures. And I'm just going to go with the Spirit of God because the gospel of Jesus. If we were preaching and following the gospel of Jesus, we wouldn't have people that own nudie bars behind pulpits. Thank you for the amen. Because the gospel of Jesus wouldn't stand for it. He'd tell them to repent and get saved. I don't mean to be harsh and be critical. I'm just being truthful. There's a difference. I love the man, want to see the man saved, but I'm going to stand for truth and what's right, even if I have to stand alone, because there's a time to stand up, there's a time to speak out, and there's a time to be quiet. There was a time for me to be quiet, but now I can speak out. But you cannot have the gospel of mammon and the gospel of Jesus. You cannot mix the two and expect your church to survive. I'm sorry, but it will not. And as you see, it did not. I'm just speaking the truth. I'm not saying it. You got to understand where I'm coming from. I see things and my heart breaks. Because I know what the Word of God says. Not what the Word of so-and-so says. But I know what this says right here. And when I see certain things happen in certain places, it breaks my heart. And I'm very cautious when I say things because that could be me. And that could be you. So I don't say anything as a critical or judgmental. See, I say it with a broken heart. Because when people first start out, I believe they start out pure. I believe they start out with the right intentions. I believe many musicians start out right and want to worship God. And as the fame comes and the money comes, they tend to lose track of God. And so do some Christians that are in pulpits. And it could happen to me and it can happen to you. But our pastor says there's nothing wrong with getting right with God. Nothing wrong with getting right with God. And I pray that if there's any wrong with God, they get right with God. I pray they preach the gospel of Jesus, because it's the gospel of Jesus that's going to save the world. Not the gospel of what I think or what you think, but it's the gospel of Jesus that's going to change the world. That's the gospel that we must preach. That's the gospel that we must hear. So if you have your Bible, turn with me please to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I forgot my other Bible, so I picked up the wrong one. I'm blessed to have two, so I'm sorry. But hey, I like the other one because it's got the Amplified. Not that I don't like this one, but when I'm going to minister and I'm pressed for time, I like to be able to flip. It's just something I like. You don't have to like it. It's okay. I'm not going to go to hell for liking the Amplified. Anyhow, moving right along. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Boy, we've got a lot of ministries out there that are making the cross of Christ of none effect, because they're trying to do it in their own wisdom. See, this gospel did not come with the wisdom of this world or the wisdom of man, but it came with the wisdom of God, and it needs to stay with the wisdom of God. We need to quit trying to act like we're smarter than we really are, because God is smarter than all of us in this room. That's why He chose weak people and fishermen and people that were unlearned, because He didn't want the world's wisdom getting in the way of God's design and the way of God's purpose. I'm not saying not to get an education, but what I am saying is you better rely on the Spirit of God if you're going to minister. You better rely on the Holy Ghost. And if this is a tape and it goes to a Baptist, I'm sorry, I said the Holy Ghost. Because it's in the Bible. The Holy Ghost is in the Bible. And if we're going to say we believe the Bible, we need to believe all of the Bible. But if we're going to preach the gospel, we need to preach it in the wisdom that God sent it down. We need to separate ourselves and put our thoughts and ideas aside and read the Bible for what it has to say. We need to meditate on the Word day and night, as the Scripture says. But we meditate on other things. We meditate on worries and we meditate on fears and presumptions. But if we would meditate on the Word day and night, as it says in Psalms, we wouldn't be in so much trouble. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I did. But see, we don't meditate on the Word day and night. We meditate on our bills and our problems and our circumstances. I'm right here with y'all. I do it too. We meditate on those things instead of the Word of God. And if we would meditate on the Word of God, we would find our peace. We would find that comfort. We would find that joy. I'm not reading this. I'm just talking what the Holy Spirit's given me. So bear with me. But see, we meditate on our bills, our circumstances of how we're going to pay the light bill, or how we're going to get our kid out of trouble when our kid maybe need to be in that trouble, so they can come to an end of themselves and come to God. I had one amen and a bunch of holy murmurs. Y'all know me. I'm going to tell the truth whether y'all like me or not, whether y'all talk to me ever again. That's okay, because I'm going to be clean from your blood and anybody else's blood that hears this tape. You know, when I first started this, the Lord liberated my soul and liberated me. Let me know not everybody's going to receive me, and there are going to be people that, oh, Sean, that was great, and then go home and, oh, that was horrible. But hey, I know how it works. I know how the human soul works and how human nature is. But, you know, we don't need any suck-ups in the church. We need Christians in the church. We need people that want to bring off the fruit of the Spirit. I didn't say the gifts of the Spirit. Those will come. I said the fruit of the Spirit. See, we emphasized in me growing up in a Pentecostal church and growing up here, we emphasize on gifts a lot, but I think we need to go back to basics and focus on the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, temperance. That is my problem one. I know none of y'all have a problem with temperance in here. Y'all got everything together. But temperance is one I, especially when it comes to my children. Lord, I'm not a patient person. But I'm learning patience. I'm learning how to go about things a little bit differently sometimes. See, I'm from the old school. I'm one of those, Brother Taylor William in this, I believe. But I'm one of those parents that believe when I ask my kids to do something, they should do it the first time. That don't always happen, and then I end up losing my temper because I got tired of telling them a second and third time. I know none of y'all have done that because y'all got everything together. But I've done it more than once. You know, ask my daughter, she'll tell you. But I'm learning that sometimes a soft answer turns away wrath. That's what the scripture says anyway. If we, man, it's amazing. We just do what the Bible says, we'd be okay. We don't always do what the Bible says because we get on our own wisdom. We think we have the answers. We think we have it all together when in fact we don't. Because if we had it all together, we were meditating on God's word and we were letting his word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I'm going to say this and I don't say it critically. I say it because the Bible says that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read it. Thank you, Lord. Because, see, we got to follow this book, right? How many believe we got to follow the book of this book that we all have in our laps? And Jesus, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners. See, some of our problem is we try to walk in the way of the ungodly or get their approval or what they think. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, here it is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. She shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. See, it didn't say right away, it says in your season and in my season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Whatever we do will prosper. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. See, we're not meditating in it, my brother and sister, like we should be. I got one amen, that's true, and the rest of us are convicted. I'm just telling y'all straight, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, but you know what I mean. We got to meditate in his word. Well, guess what? When we meditate in his word, we won't need an Ambien to go to sleep. When we have his peace, we won't need an Ambien. We're Christians. How many Christians, raise your hands, we got in here? Christians. I'm not saying we're not going to go through things. I'm not saying we can't go to the doctor. But what I am saying is, if he's our Lord and Savior, if he's our King of Kings, and if he's our Lord of Lords, we don't need... I'm going to get in trouble, but it's okay. I've been there before. I'll do it again. It doesn't matter. We don't need depressant pills in the body of Christ. We need to learn how to get on our knees again and call out to a holy God. We need to learn how to pray again. Brother Benoit talked about a man that wasn't praying when he first started the service this morning, didn't have a developed prayer life, and his church had all these functions, but yet he didn't have a developed prayer life. You show me a depressed Christian, and I'll show you a non-praying Christian. You show me one that can't sleep, and I'll show you one that can't cast all their cares upon the Lord because he cares for them. Let me tell you something. When a Christian casts all their care upon the Lord, and God's changed my message, and it's okay. When a Christian casts all their care upon the Lord, you're trusting the Lord like you need to. And when we don't cast all of our care upon the Lord, like God can't handle it, we're trying to carry all of those cares that we can't carry because we're human. Our bodies are made up to depend on people and things. I'm dependent on my wife and she's dependent on me. And guess what? We better be dependent on God. Us Christians better be dependent on the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The problem is we're not dependent on Him. We're independent from Him. And we need to be dependent on Him. That's why we have so many divorces in the church. It's because Christians aren't following and doing what the good book says. They're buying every other book. And they're not doing what the book says to do. Because if Mike and I have a disagreement, we don't agree, and guess what? We're human. We're not always going to agree because we're human. But I still got to love him, and he still got to love me according to the Word of God. And that doesn't mean I don't love him because we have a disagreement. Hey, the apostles had a disagreement, but they still loved one another. It's time us Christians start doing what the apostles did and do what the book says and love one another whether we have a disagreement or not. I may not always agree with what Mike does, and he may not agree with what I do, but I've still got to love him, and you still got to love me. There are people in here that probably don't agree with some things I do. Guess what? Get over it. Some things y'all do I don't agree with, but I got to get over it. I may not like it, but guess what? I got to get over it. My wife handles things differently with the children. I'm learning to get over it. Didn't say I liked it. I'm telling on myself tonight. But I'm learning to get over it. She handles things differently than I handle things. We're different. God made us that way. I'm learning that. Duh. But hey, God is good. But if we meditate on His Word and we follow His instructions, and not the instructions of what I think or what you think, but we follow the instruction manual. When's the last time you read the instruction manual? When's the last time we sought God? I'm not talking about reading once. I'm talking about seeking God like we all used to. Come on now, y'all all know what I'm talking about. Seeking God like we used to. Till 12, 1 in the morning, and then going to work. And having the strength of the Master strengthening us because we were about our Father's business. And He sustained us and gave us the strength that we need. We're also tired and worn down now because we ain't about our Father's business. We're about our business. And that's why we're so stressed out, tired, and wrung out. It's because we're not about His business anymore. We're about our own business. That's why we're going to the doctors for Ambien, is because we ain't got no peace. Because we can't get no peace. Because we're too worried about our little circle. My 4 no more. My 3 and no more. My 6 and no more. Myself and no more. And God wants us to get rid of self. And begin to prefer one another. And prefer His kingdom. I know it's difficult. Hey, and guess what? My heart's beating 100 miles an hour too. I'm just as convicted as y'all. So let's just get through this. I'm just being honest. God comes to us because He loves us, my brother and sister. God's got a plan for this place. God's got a purpose for this place. God wants to use us. I believe it. God wants to use each and every one of us in this room. That's why He doesn't mince no words with us anymore. He doesn't give us milk anymore. He gives us the strong meat of the Word. And says, you need to fix this and you need to fix that, because we're not babes anymore. We've been walking with Jesus long enough. There are some things we know we need to be doing that we need to be doing that we better hurry up and start doing. I don't know why this message changed, but it did. But we've got His Word will be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. See, too many times when we get away from the book, the path gets darkened, but we think in our own reasoning that we're making the right decisions. And guess what? We're not. Because we didn't pray long enough about it. We didn't seek God long enough about it. We thought we wanted it, and guess what? We got it, and now you necessarily sometimes don't want it. What's the old saying? You wanted something, you got it, and then you didn't want it no more? I know a lot of marriages that way. moving right along. If you do it God's way, it's going to be blessed. I didn't say it wouldn't be fought, because I waited on my wife. I didn't go to other churches, to singles ministries, and if you did that, that's between you and Jesus. But I waited on my wife. And there have been some times where I wondered if it was the Lord because of some of the problems we went through. I'm just being honest. Honey, did you wonder that? It's not that I don't love her. I love her with all my heart. But the enemy don't like us together. Believe you me. I don't know what it is about me and her, but he don't like us. And I don't like him either. He fights us because, you know why? Because I'm one of those that want to represent Jesus and that God can still hold a marriage together in the 21st century. With all the problems that we have, God's the reason. It ain't because I'm Prince Charming. Just ask her when I'm not around. I'm just being honest. I've got my hang-ups and my shortcomings. Boy, do I ever. I'm going to move on right along. Thank God for His grace. That's all I can say. But if we meditate in His Word, my brother and sister, y'all all know this. Come on now. We might not read the Bible for a day or two, and all of a sudden our stomachs will get all, we need Rolaids. And, of course, Ditter's always needed Rolaids, so she must never read the Bible. I'm just kidding. I'm kind of giving a little sugar to go down with the medicine, but it's okay. I love Ditter, and she knows that, so that's why I said that. But y'all know that, I know that Brother Taylor, he reads the Bible all the time. He wouldn't be like the rest of us. He wouldn't be like the rest of us sometimes that, you know. Hey, but God is good. I love you, Brother Taylor. I thank God for you. But when we close this book, come on now. We all tend to let the flesh rule. Sometimes our mouths rule too, when we should speak less and pray more. I'm guilty of that. Boy, God sure just got my number tonight. This is probably for me, not even y'all. I can't even finish what I wanted to preach on, but that's okay. God is good. But if we meditate on His Word, blessed is the man. See, we got people that want to get rich. I just want the blessing of the Lord. Because the money will run out, but the blessing won't if we stay. If, let me put an if in here, because there is an if. If we stay right with God. See, we got to stay right with God to keep the blessing of the Lord. Can't just get the blessing of the Lord and think you got it forever and go about doing your own thing. We got to keep and do what the Lord asks us to do as Christians. And every one of us in this room is old enough to know what we're supposed to be doing. And what would we tell our kids, those of us in here that have kids? There's only one in here that ain't got kids. And I won't pick on him. But we would tell our kids they need to tighten up, wouldn't we? I'm talking about kids at home. I'm not talking about kids in the school. I ain't talking about that. But I couldn't do Mike's job. If I was doing Mike's job, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in jail right now. I'm being honest. I'd be in jail. Some of them kids, where them kids talk to some of them teachers, I'd be like, I'm going to jail today. That's all there is to it. I'm going to jail. Honey, the popo done came and got me. I'm going to jail. I need some bail money. Hey, I'm just being honest. I have to go outside and get in the truck and leave sometimes because, boy, if the enemy can use anything, he tries to use my children against me. He knows that's my weakness. That's because that's just my character. I believe that when I ask my children to do something, they should do it. So he uses that, but I'm getting wiser. Not there yet, but I'm getting there. And I want to be there because I want to do what this says. And I believe most of the people in this room want to do what this says. We're not going to walk perfectly every day, but I believe every day we could try to walk more perfect towards that. Because Jesus did ask us to be mature Christians, and we're not always mature, the way we handle ourselves as far as being a Christian. You know, like that waitress that did you wrong when y'all went out to eat that time, and you could have been more loving, but you were kind of rude and brass. Those times matter the most. It's when it's just, maybe it's just you and your husband, or maybe you and another sister in the Lord, or maybe you was with your unsaved sister, because our example and how we handle ourselves is going to speak to this lost and dying world. I know it's tough. I know it's thick in here right now, but it's going to lift here in a minute. Y'all bear with me. Because God loves us. Thank God He does not leave us alone. If He left us alone, I'd be worried. I would be scared to death. But anytime I do something wrong or I have a bad attitude, I get convicted. And that's a good thing. I wish some more Christians would get convicted about the way they do things and handle things. I handled my children the other day and I got convicted. I didn't tell nobody, but I got convicted. Said, okay, all right, Lord, I'm wrong. I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong because I'm wrong. I'm wrong because of my attitude and the way I'm acting right now. See, because the scripture says for us not to provoke our children to anger. And sometimes that's hard for us dads. Amen, dads? And sister, I love Sister Ruth. She's so honest. She says mothers too. Ain't nothing wrong with whipping them. See, I don't need to do it out of anger because... And I've been guilty of that, boy. I ain't going to stand up here and lie. I've been guilty. But I thank God He's gracious and forgiving and loving, and my kids are gracious and loving and forgiving. But y'all pray for my children, because God's going to save them. God's got a plan for them. I really believe that. Ain't no accident, Heather and I got married. No accident at all. No accident. I was placed in their life. And believe you me, I wish there were some things I could change, but God is gracious. That's all I can say. Been some words I wish I could take back. But God is faithful. Even when we're not, God is faithful. God's going to save our children and your children, because we serve a faithful God. But we've got to do our part. And we've got to live right. And we've got to act right. And then, you know, acting right is not always the easiest thing in this troublesome world. But I look and I hear, when I hear, I get upset because I love my sheep in this building. All of them. They're not just Brother Venables, they're mine too. So y'all bear with me. And it breaks my heart when I hear of Christians on Ambien because they're not following this. And it's not God. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Because everything He said in this word, He'll bring it to pass if we're obedient. I didn't say I'd bring it to pass. He'd bring it to pass. But you see, the problem is, sometimes we're like our kids. We don't always like to be obedient. But we need to be. We always want God to do this for us and do that for us. And guess what? He's so gracious and merciful and loving, He does it. And yet we go right back with our own stinking sorry attitudes and can't do what His word asks us to do. No accident you prayed the prayer tonight. Father, make us doers of the word, not just hearers. It wasn't no accident. God knew what He was doing. But God wants us to be doers and not just hearers. God wants us to walk line upon line, precept upon precept. I get tired of hearing God blamed. Well, where are the miracles? I've got family members that always say, well, where are the miracles? And my answer to them is, well, if you would get on your knees more and pray, and you would develop that prayer life that you need, you would see the miracles. We always want to blame God, but we never want to look in the mirror. And this is a looking in the mirror service. You need to look in the mirror. And you need to look and see, do you see your face or do you see Jesus' face? Because that's who we're supposed to mirror, is Jesus. And believe you me, there's some areas I need help in. There's some areas you need help in. There's some areas you husbands need help in with your wives. And there's some areas you wives need help in towards your husbands. I don't say that critically, I say that loving. Because this is a looking in the mirror service. Man, my heart's beating 100 miles an hour, and if yours not, you better get in an altar, because I'm convicted. I'm going to shoot straight with you. I never mince words, because I want to see God move. I want to see God touch, save, heal, and deliver. I don't want to just fall out and not see things change and see people change like we've all done in the past. I want to see lives transformed. I want to see the drug addicts set free. I want to see the miraculous for my King and my glory. I do not want the honor, nor do I want to put myself anywhere near that glory. I want Him to get all the glory, because it's His blood and His cross that paid for it all. And any man that wants to try to get the glory should be ashamed of themselves, because it's God, Jesus Christ, that bled and died for you and me, that gets all the glory. He's not going to share His glory with another, the Scripture says. Believe you me, people's day will come. I'm not the judge, but there is a judge coming. And when they meet that judge, it doesn't matter what they say at that given point in time. It's what they've all done with Jesus. And it's what they've done with the blood. And it's what they've done with the cross. If they did not bow to Him, they will not go to heaven. I don't care how big their ministry is. And I do not say that pridefully. I say that very, very warningful, because these are the times that we live in. Not everybody's going to heaven that walks in that door. Sorry, they're not. Some of your relatives that used to have on a pedestal may not make it to heaven that once knew Jesus. That's horrifying and sad at the same time. Because they once held a standard, and now there is no standard. What happened to the standard of the church? The standard that this is the book that we live by, and there is no other. There is still something about the name of Jesus. You ask every demon in hell about the name of Jesus, and they'll ask you to be quiet, because it still holds all power and all authority. The only problem is, it does not in America. It does not in American churches. It does not in American Christian hearts. Brother Sean, you're negative. No. I beg to differ. I'm positive, because I know the outcome of people will surrender to Jesus. I know the outcome of people will bow to Jesus. See, it's not a matter of me being negative. It's a matter of the human heart being so prideful it doesn't want to bow anymore. And I've learned that over the years. There are going to be those that aren't going to bow to Jesus. There are going to be those that aren't going to... Oh, they're going to come sit in here with us and they're going to be with us. But they're not going to be of us. They're going to try to be a hindrance. They're going to try to be a snare. Brother Sean, what are you talking about? See, God has His people, and the enemy has his people. Which are you? I hope I know the answer to that for most of us in here. But believe you me, everybody in this room knows what I'm about to say is true. There have been people walking out those doors that I would have never thought would have left. You being critical, Brother Sean? No. I'm saying you need to guard your heart and keep it with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. See, and that's the problem. We don't guard our heart. Because here's what happens in the Pentecostal arena. I've seen it. I grew up in it. So I know it. So I can talk about it. See, we get used by God, so we think we're okay. Oh, I'm close to Jesus now. No, you're not. Not necessarily. Gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So guess what? We equated being used in the gifts of the Spirit as being close to God. And guess what? We're all wrong. I grew up in the church. I'm talking from experience. You're not talking to somebody who doesn't know, who hasn't been around the Pentecostal era for quite some time. But me being used in the gifts of the Spirit doesn't make me close to God. We should desire to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. We should want that. But us being right with God should be more important than being used by God. Because us being right with God is more important than being used of God. Nothing wrong with getting right with God. Nothing wrong. God wants us to walk in holiness. You didn't hear what I just said. And we can't walk in a holiness that's holier than thou. It's a reverence, and at the same time, it's just a walking. We don't remember when we first got saved. I'll use it that way. Can y'all remember when you first got saved? Everything you did wrong, you thought, oh God, forgive me. We need to get back to that. I mean, we used to, we'd go ask a brother, pray for me. I blew it this week. I blew it. Now we just want to, oh man, I don't know who to talk to. I ain't going to tell him. And it'll be around the church for noon. Y'all laughing, but I'm telling the truth. And you know what? We need to grow up as far as the gossiping. And it needs to stop. We need to all grow up as far as the gossiping. Myself included. And it needs to stop. Brother Sean, what are you talking about? Don't play stupid with me. I wasn't born yesterday. I grew up in church. I won't tell you some of the things I've heard. Adults didn't know little kids were around. But it needs to stop, because God hates it. Because it does sow discord. And God hates it, and we all know it, but yet we still allow it. Ooh, it's quiet in here now. Hear a pin drop. Why? Because it's serious. I told you, it's a looking in the mirror service. So ask yourself. See, I don't want to do anything that's going to hurt this brother. But that's me. I got people I pray for. I got people I've tried to stay in contact with. And finally the Lord said, enough. Stop. You did your part. And you know what is heartbreaking when that happens? Because you wanted to reach out to somebody. You wanted to see that their heart change, but they were so stubborn and so headstrong that they just went their way anyway because of pride. And I tell you what, I hope none of you in here have got pride, because pride's a horrible thing in the eyes of God. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And that's probably, and I'm not bragging, but I like to be told I do a good job, but I never want to be known as a suck up at work. And my boss kind of stuck up for me. Had our district manager in, and my district manager asked me a question, because I have a new store manager. This is the third store manager at this store. She goes, "Sean, how's the morale in the store?" I said, "Morale seems to be good." My district manager looked at me. She goes, "You're not sucking up on me, are you?" And I said, "Tana, I don't suck up." My boss looked at her and said, "He don't suck up. He just does his job." And I said, I didn't say anything. I said to myself, "Self, good. Because there are too many suck-ups in the world today trying to get ahead because they don't want to do their job or work." And that's all I'm going to say. So, you know, I go to work and I work hard, number one, because I'm a Christian. And I represent my master. And I don't want them ever to say, "Oh, he's a horrible example because he doesn't do his job or he doesn't work hard." I'd rather work and I do five times harder than my own associates, because I represent the kingdom, than I would be told and said I'm slothful, or I just got the position because I'm a suck up, because I serve another kingdom. And see, that's where we need to get back to. We're just passing through, my brother and sister. And you know, that used to be on our minds a whole lot more. We're just passing through. But as time has gone on, we kind of gotten away from that. We kind of settled in a little bit, and God wants to unsettle us. There's nothing wrong with having a home. We've got to have a roof, but we're just passing through. We're pilgrims and strangers, according to Peter. We're aliens. We're not of this world. We're of another. And to all our Trekkie friends in the room, we can have Scotty beam us up. I'm sorry, guys. I made it funny, but I'm being serious. We're just passing through. We are. We're just passing through. Because Jesus is going to come one of these days. He's going to come one of these days. Guess what, Dave? We can't take nothing with us. Those beautiful chairs we can't take. Won't even have these clothes we're wearing on us. Or the jewelry. Or the cars. Can't take none of that with us. Oh, but when we get there, we won't even think about any of that stuff. Because we'll see Him face to face. And I'm telling you, if we could have a Paul experience, a face-to-face experience with Jesus, like he had, don't ask like y'all wouldn't like to, because y'all know y'all would. Man, I tell you what, Jesus came and met with me, y'all be telling everybody. And y'all know you would. You can have a face-to-face experience in your home, in your bedroom, on your knees. Jesus will come and meet with you. Problem is, we've all got away from that. We say a little 5-minute prayer when we know we need to pray an hour. I know I haven't prayed an hour like I should. I'll just be the first to admit it. The rest of y'all can act holy if you want to. God answers some prayers because He's a loving, forgiving, merciful God. But there's a part we need to be doing more of as Christians. Not because of any other reason, but because we're Christians. We name the name of Christ. And everyone that names the name of Christ should depart from iniquity. Everyone. I don't care who they are, what their title is. If you name the name of Jesus, we should run away from iniquity and keep it far from us. Every one of us can look in the mirror. I can look in the mirror right now and I don't see Jesus, but I want to. And I believe most of the people in this room want to look in the mirror and see Jesus. Because see, that's when we've succeeded. Is when we can look in the mirror and see Jesus. Or when we go somewhere and they say, oh, that person was so kind. And we can say, it's because of my master. It's because of my Savior. It's because of Jesus. Because Jesus does make a difference. I know sometimes we don't act like it, but He can make a difference. Would you please stand? Okay, Lord, You changed my message. Thank You, Father. I want to be more like Jesus. More so at home than anywhere. Not saying I'm not. There's some areas I can really, really work on. I know none of y'all need to work on any areas at home. We all, I wasn't here to hear the sermons that Brother Vinner talked about, the masks, but which mask do you have on today? I'll just say that. I want to have the mask of Jesus. And I believe most of you in here want to have the mask of Jesus. Because see, when it's all been said and done, we're going to stand before Him. You're not going to stand before the person to the right of you, or to the left of you, or in front of you, or behind you. You're going to stand before the Master. It's Him that you're going to answer to. It's Him that's going to ask you, what'd you do with my son, or what'd you do with my word, or what'd you do with your life as a Christian? You know, Jesus put it pretty plain. We either gather with Him or we scatter with Him. I want to gather. And I believe most of you in here do. And believe you me, the enemy knows how to push all of our buttons. He knows how to push mine. He knows how to push yours. Our job, though, is to learn that when we see those buttons starting to be pushed, we learn how to go pray and ask for God's help. And I know that's easier said than done. Believe you me, I'll be the first to tell you that's easier said than done. But I believe as we mature in Christ, we can overcome and win. Because God wants us to, and God desires us to, and God's given us the Holy Ghost to overcome and to win, to become His sons. He didn't just give us this power to pray in the Holy Ghost. He gave it to us so we could be winners and be victors. And He gave us His power so we could become His sons and daughters. And we are His sons and daughters, but sometimes we don't act like His sons and daughters. But I want to act more like His son. And I believe most of you in here want to act more like His son or daughter. Because you still wouldn't be coming to this little old church if you didn't. But when we go through those doors is when we need to act more like His sons and daughters. We can all put on a front for an hour or two coming in here. But it's when we walk through those doors that matters. That's when it counts. Is when we walk through those doors and we go up to the Hess station and they're out of gas and we're on empty. And instead of us getting aggravated with the Hess attendant, because it ain't their fault, it's the manager's fault for not ordering gas. But we want to take it out on them. We say, it's okay. I'll pray and God will help me make it to the next station. Amen. Because I know when I was about my father's business, we took Ditter's old Bonneville from Land O'Lakes to Riverview on an eighth of a tank of gas and home underneath of a tank of gas. Gas gauge did not move because we went to get a backslider that wanted to get right with God. And God knew that that backslider was serious. So I believe that's the only reason the gas gauge didn't move. Because I believe if he wasn't serious, I believe we would have ran out of gas. And the Lord would have known that his heart wasn't sincere. But because it was sincere, we watched the gas gauge not move. Oh, brother, stop. Okay, y'all don't have to believe me, but I'm telling you the honest to God's truth. The gas gauge did not move. I've seen God do some strange, miraculous things when we're about his business. But we got to be about his business and not our own. There are things sometimes I think that should happen, but maybe God doesn't think that should happen, so it doesn't happen. And I know y'all are the same way. I do things a little bit different maybe than God would, but that's why he's God and I'm not. Because I'd mess things up in a hurry. And so would you. We would all mess things up in a hurry if we were. That's why we're not God. That's why we need. That's why we need to be dependent on him. It's because he's God. And there's none like him. The heavens declare his handiwork. The heavens declare his handiwork, my brother and sister. I mean, who has a God like our God? A God that just, I mean, he cares for us. He knows the very feeling of our infirmity. We don't have a God who doesn't feel our heartache or our pain or our sorrow, but we've got one that feels our very sorrows, who's felt them, who knows what we're going through. And see, that's the problem. We don't go to him. And for you women that can crawl up in your daddy's lap or did as a child, you can go to your Heavenly Father and he'll take care of you. And for us guys, we can go to our Abba Father and he'll take care of us. You know, the old saying is he'll be the best friend we ever had. And you know what? We haven't been very friendly to him. Just look in the mirror. I haven't been very friendly to him and his word. His things. We've been caring about our things. Didn't get no amen, but it's the truth. That's why it's so quiet in here. But you know what? That's good. That means everybody's thinking. Or everybody's convicted. I'm convicted. I'm going to be shoot straight with y'all. I told y'all this message might be for me, but I believe it's for everybody. Because God wants us to be more like his son. Can't play games no more, my brother and sister. We got to be more like Jesus in every way. That means when you hear it, cut it off. You hear something negative about somebody, cut it off. Put an end to it. Stop it. Because we don't need it in the body of Christ. That's one thing the world knows about us, is we like to gossip. We need that image to change. Thank you for the amen. Because in this world, unfortunately, everything's about image. It's an image-driven world. If I have Macho Man and Little Barbie, I'm successful. I've got to dress the part so I can get the part. Well, God, you don't. I don't think you heard me. You might be the last person they thought of for that promotion. But when God drops it in their heart, their mind will change. You were probably I was the last one on people's. I'm going to brag on Jesus. When I got promoted to assistant produce manager, there were 5 people in front of me for the job. That's 5 other associates in front of me. I said, all right, Lord, you got to do something because I need this job. I got a family to take care of. So one person got fired. Brother Sean. I didn't get him fired. I just said he got fired. I didn't say God did it. He did it to himself because of some things he said. And then some other people got transferred, and it was down to 3 people. and another one got transferred. And it was amazing. It just all of a sudden, bam, 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 bam. And it was down to me and this one young lady. And I finally came to the conclusion, okay, if she gets this job, she gets the job before me, I'm fine with it. God's going to take care of me and mine. Well, she started calling in sick all the time. And guess who they called to get the overtime? They called me, and I went. And I said, Lord, you know what you're doing. And I'll tell you the reason why it happened. It wasn't because I'm so wonderful. It's because I'm a tithe payer. And I was paying my tithe on what an assistant produce manager made before I got the job. Oh, thank you for the amen. See, I was paying it ahead of time by faith that God would give me the job because I knew what the salary was starting out. So I started paying it. And when you want to do right and you want to be right, God will treat you right. The problem is we don't, as Christians, we always don't want to do right. But we want God to always treat us right and be good to us. And He is, when He doesn't always have to be. Thank you for the amen. There's some, God's been merciful to every single one in this room when He probably should have picked us up and left us laying on the floor. But He's merciful and gracious and long-suffering. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the mercy and grace and long-suffering of God, we would have all been swallowed up. Every one of us. But see, He's seen the end from the beginning. He knows where this church is going to be at next year. And He knows where you're going to be at. He knows where your heart's going to be at. You can fool us, but you can't fool God. Can't fool your master. That's one person you will not fool. Because He tries the reins in the hearts. He knows our thoughts and the intent of our heart. Everybody just bow your head. Father, I thank You for this evening. Father, we all want to be more like You, Father. We want to be more like our Master. We want to be more like Jesus. So, Father, help us to endeavor. Help us, Father, to be more like You. Father, when you look in the mirror, help us to see Jesus. When we go out in this lost world, let people sense Jesus. Let them sense Your love through us, Father. Lord, create in us all a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within us all, Father. Lord, let it begin in us, Father. Lord, let Your change begin in us, Father. In Jesus' name, let it begin in us, Father. Let Your Holy Spirit work begin in us, Father. Father, we want to be doers and not just hearers of the word. We want to walk Your word out, Father. Lord, help us to walk Your word out, Father, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Brother Doug, give us something. I want y'all to just worship.